Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com. And for farmers, it's turnerstakeag.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Turner's Take. And I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with speculators, work with hedgers, mainly farmers. We do broker-assisted trading here, self-directed online. Most popular category is the hybrid, which is a mix of both. And if you ever have any questions about that, feel free to give me a call. My number here at the office is 312-706-7610. But all my contact info is in the show notes for this podcast and on the website. You go to any of those web addresses, you'll find me. So let's get into it. We had a couple of podcasts last week. I wanted to put one out. We were closed on Monday, so that's why we kind of got a little bit of a slow start to this week. But we are back open. And, you know, we were watching this weekend the weather, you know, for the grain markets down in Argentina. And, you know, the rains were okay. I mean, it was basically came in as expected, which wasn't, we weren't expecting a whole lot. So we initially kind of gapped up on the open on Monday night. But then came back down, and, you know, beans are still strong because meal is strong, but corn really hasn't done a whole lot since the open on Monday. So let's talk about what's going on here. A few things about corn I'll say. If Argentina, here's the bull case for corn. You know, we're losing crop in South America. We're going to see more exports come to the United States. And, you know, the worse things get in Argentina, more exports need to get switched, the lower the balance sheet in the United States is going to come. And that's all true, all right? Now, the real question is, or to, you know, kind of get a handle on prices and why we're only up 20 cents in the past month in corn, is you got to ask yourself, how much corn's at risk? How much of the global export market does that make up? And then if that corn it does, you know, is lost and that the exports have to switch, how much of that comes back to the United States? So let's go through that exercise right now. Argentina was supposed to have about 44 million metric tons of corn. Let's say they lose 25%, okay? 25% times 44. It's putting us at 33 million metric tons. We lose 11. 11 million metric tons times 39, just how many, that's the bushels conversion, that's 429. Now, here's something to consider. Argentina, a lot of times, sells out of their corn. Like, they don't carry over a whole lot. Like, the United States is the country that does a lot of carry out. And then if people around the world run out, like South America or Ukraine or whoever, you come to the United States. So most other countries pretty much sell out, unless they just have so much, they're kind of forced to hold grains over. That's what happened in South America last year. So I would say corn is a little bit better off than normal right now. So Argentina is going to have about 5 to 6 million metric tons left over from last year. So that's going to be a little bit of a cushion for all their exports this year. Now, they'll raise prices locally as they eat into their exports and, you know, they lose crop and they have to eat into the carrying. But, you know, in years past, Argentina may have 1 or 2 million metric tons left over in carry out, you know, to bring in for carrying for the next year. But this year they have about 5 or 6 million. And that just has to go, that just really shows you how big crops have been over past years, how big world carry out is, and they usually don't carry up that much. So they're losing 11 million metric tons, but you can make the argument they have about 5 million metric tons to work with, too, from the carry-in. So let's say there's 800, maybe I've been seeing like the exports, you know, numbers are saying, you know, we could see 200 million in exports coming back to the United States. And what does that really mean? That means about 5 million metric tons. So if Argentina lost 11 million metric tons, you know, some of it comes out of, some of it might be made up for Brazil. Some of it, you know, that people just don't buy as much in terms of feed use. Some of it, if there's any kind of ethanol being used in down there with corn, maybe that gets shut off. Some of it comes back to the United States, and some of it is used, some of it is made up for the carrion. So, you know, 5 million metric tons come back to exports to the United States. Of the last 5 or 6 million, that's almost makes up all of the carrion from the year before. Plus, I'm sure there's spillover from Brazil and maybe just, you know, around the margins, you know, there maybe isn't as much corn bought. So that's kind of where we are now with Argentina. And, you know, that's about only 200 million metric tons. And meanwhile, last WASDE report, the USDA was already factoring exports to go up about 125 million. So, you know, I can see USDA next time around having to reduce U.S. corn stocks again. You know, exports maybe get bumped up another 100 million, 125 million like they did last time. And now all of a sudden ending stocks are closer to 2.2 billion. In the meantime, you have to think that with all the, we're going to see more second crop out of Brazil, even though it's going to be later, and it'll probably be cheaper seed, you know, with less chemicals, but the, and fertilizers, but the subsoil moisture, the moisture there has to be really good with all the rain they've gotten in Brazil. So there's a lot of concern. The corn most likely is more prone to go higher, but just to give you a little background on why we're not screaming higher right now is a lot of these issues that we just went over. Now, at some point, you keep on losing corn in South America, and the Midwest stays dry, and Brazil has issues, and maybe the second crop isn't as big. You eventually get a tipping point where, you know, we're only up 20 cents, you know, up in the past 4 weeks. You know, if stocks were tighter by 500 million bushels, you know, we could have been up 50 or 60 cents, right? So the more corn we lose, the bigger the moves will be made going forward. But this $4 area for these corn and the, you know, the $380 for March is still a reflection of, even with Argentina losing 25% of their crop, which would be on the higher end of the scale during some of the worst La Nina years, which it could even end up being more than that. That's 11 million metric tons. And between the larger carry-in they had this year and the exports come to the United States, we're still over 2 billion carry-out. Things get worse, that's where you can start to see prices actually go up faster. Because as the carry-out comes down, the stock's usage comes down, and we don't have as much room for error. So that's something that we'll definitely be keeping an eye on. Soybeans are probably the big story right now. Actually, before I switch from corn, you know, wheat also has a factor in on this, too. You know, we haven't had any real bullish wheat news in a while. You can make a case that the Chicago wheat story is probably turning more neutral or bearish than bullish, and it really just went up because of the hard red winter wheat. The hard red winter wheat, we'll see the reports of the state reports for conditions at the end of the month. It's the last business day in February. Those need to either stay the same conditions or get worse to continue to probably see a rally in the hard red winter wheat. We are getting a lot of precipitation across the Midwest this week. I know in northern Illinois, we've gotten a lot. I talked to farmers all across central and northern Illinois. There's been a lot of precipitation and also in the forecast. I mean, for the hard red winter areas of that Oklahoma and Kansas, they haven't. They've actually missed it. But there are a lot of places around the Midwest this week are going to get rain. It's going to recharge a lot of the soil. I think the drought map is going to look a lot different in the next week or two. Like the problem areas where the hard red winter wheat is might not look better. But the surrounding areas to them in the Midwest are probably going to look a little bit better, if not a lot better. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. If
hard red wheat does charge higher, that's going to be a big benefit for corn. I've been saying for a while, I think what supports corn more is the wheat prices rather than the soybeans. You can have soybeans up 20 or 30 cents and corn not move. But it'd be hard for, you know, if wheat went up another 20 or 30 cents because the conditions got worse out there, that would drag corn along with it, even if there wasn't new news coming out of Argentina. So keep that in mind, too. So where do we go from here? You have to start asking yourself how much more damage is possible or realistic based on how many days we have left in the season and what's already been made. There's been some people saying we could have a 35% reduction in total Argentine production. If that's the case, alrighty, 35%, that means we're going to have about 29 million metric tons. We lose 15 million metric tons, which is almost 600 million bushels. And at that point, with all those exports coming in, we are now under 2 billion. And still not even talking about Brazil. So if we do start to see corn really catch fire, that's going to be the reason. If the market isn't really catching fire, then the market's thinking that the damage isn't that bad, or there will be other people be able to step in. Or keep in mind, there are the carry-ins from Brazil and Argentina are larger than they have been in years past on the stock side, which could help soften that blow too. So that is where we're looking. Beans, it's a meal story right now. I've been sounding like a broken record for a while, but it is meal. We're a little bit tight on the old crop in Argentina. Farmers don't want to let go of it. Still have 19 to 20% inflation. They're unsure about their new crop. Farmers' best asset in the bank are those soybeans, and they don't let them go for the crush. So that's as prices go higher up there, more export demand comes to the United States. Prices come up higher here. Meal has been the leader for the most part. I would expect that to continue to be the case. What's going to be really interesting is the Ag Forum comes out soon. Ag Forum doesn't have the capability usually to move the markets a ton, but what it will do is they'll tell you what the trend line yields are for the year, which most people can figure them out, and they get it to about a tenth of a bushel from all the people who estimate these things. But you get the first look, which is really important on acres. And what will the soybean acres and corn acres look like? Then there'll be a debate on has any of that changed now that corn has rallied 20 cents in the past month. And that's going to be really interesting. My guess before the rallies in Argentina was 89 million acres corn, 91 million acres soybeans. With prices now where they are, could we see farmers doing a late switch? I don't know if they really have the ability to do that. It'd be interesting to see. And also, too, there's always the thing, you know, if you get a great spring and you're planting corn and you can keep on going, you keep on going, and if corn's above $4, that may happen. So that'll be an interesting concept. Now, if that does happen, you know, if corn's above $4 and farmers, you know, can start pricing in $4 corn, you can all of a sudden see the market starting to price in more acres. Another headwind for corn. So as bullish as the underlying story is for corn, there are a lot of things down the pipe can not be bearish, but just be a headwind. I would just consider that as we go on. As far as the newsletter, Turner Stake Ag Marketing, we're 10% sold at 390. We sold another 10% cash market today at 396. I still have an order to set, and this is for farmers. Still have an order to sell basis Dees, the Dees contract at 4. And if we can get 4, if we can give it 30% sold in this $390 to $4 range on the cash market, you can always re-own if you want to. That's fine. I think that's prudent. If you want to have more exposure to the market, you'll only be 15 or 20%, great. I'm always a little more conservative. So that's where the newsletter stands. We still have some short straddles in. For soybeans, we are now also 30% sold. We sold 10% at $10, 10% at $10.15. I got filled today at 10% at $10.30. That's all we're doing for now. At most, we want to be 30% sold. We have an average price at $10.15. We've also been re-owning as we go along the way, buying July soybeans and selling November for anyone who wants to have any kind of re-ownership. And that way, if soybeans keeps on going higher, you know, you'll participate in that rally. I think it's a lot better use of margin money and a lot less risky than owning futures, and it's a lot less expensive than buying calls. So it's either July versus Nov, or Nov 18 versus Nov 19. That way you can get some long exposure after you make some cash sales. I don't want to get more sold than 30%. Because like I've been saying, soybeans have a possible $4 range, and this time of year is the time of year where we see bullish moves. So if you can get a little priced in above 10, awesome. And that's how we're going to handle that. I did for the first time make a wheat recommendation today for farmers for the soft red winter wheat in July, selling a new crop at $4.75, and also for hard red wheat, again, at $5, 10% only. But that's how we're starting it. So right now, we're still neutral to bullish on all the grain markets. Maybe not so much the soft, the Chicago wheat, but definitely the hard red wheat and corn and soybeans. Soybeans have the biggest room to run right now, but that would change if corn sees another... I mean, if we go from 25% of Argentina crop to like 35%, then all of a sudden we start to get to carryouts in the U.S. that matter, where you can start seeing the price of corn being more sensitive to this news. And that's where we are. I also wrote today in my Market Alert newsletter, we're looking at some bear spreads in crude. We saw a double top, basically a head and shoulders topping formation in some of the crude spreads. We're coming to a point in the year where we start to see seasonally bear spreads work in crude. So that was something we're taking a look at. There's also seasonally some feeder cattle spreads we were looking at. I'm kind of trying to play a range on feeders. So we also dove into that in the newsletter. If you ever want to work with me on the spec side of the hedge side, you can always contact me. You can also take a look at our newsletters, Turner's Take Ag Marketing or Turner's Take Market Alert. The Ag Marketing is for farmers. The Market Alert is for spec traders. And we've been pretty active lately in the grains, trying to do something energy and also with the cattle. So if the ag forum surprises us, I'll try to get something out on Friday, at least something that I'll definitely be updating in the newsletters. I don't know if I'll be able to do another podcast this week, but I will be in California for the Commodity Classic next week. If you're in California, you want to come by the booth, that would be fantastic. I'll put in my newsletter where we are. Actually, I've got it right in front of me. If you are in Anaheim next week for Commodity Classic, we are on booth number 3911 under the Daniels Ag Marketing sign. Come and visit me. I plan on doing a podcast. I'm going to record it live. Or actually, I'm going to record it right from the booth on Wednesday after the markets close. So swing on by. Anyways, have a great day, everyone, and I'll talk to you soon. And remember, Ag Form is Thursday and Friday this week, and what we're really interested in is corn acres, soybean acres, trendline yield for beans, trendline yield for corn. And then we can start talking more about new crop expectations. All right, have a good one, and good luck.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.